I am here with Bo, and that is Heather and Emma. How are you guys doing? You're in Malibu, first of all. It's lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
Yeah. We're far away from home in Malibu.
Yeah, I know you're out of New York originally, and I know you guys have known each other a long time. So, you know, let's get the same question out of the way that you get at the beginning of every interview, I'm sure. How did you guys meet? When did you meet? And how did you start playing music together?
Heather and I met when we were like 10, 11 years old, but we had always gone to the same schools. We grew up like a few blocks away from each other in downtown Manhattan in New York. And our parents were good friends, our crazy moms. And they kind of introduced us, I guess, when we were...
Yeah. And like when we met, we had seen each other before through the neighborhood and just like in camp and in school. And so I think both of us thought, oh God, like when we first met each other, but we were like 12. So, you know, that kind of thing is pretty cute anyways. But I didn't know, it's crazy to think then like that we'd come so far, like, cause then we got really, really close. Learned guitar. Emma was taking lessons at this place in Greenwich Village, and I sat in on the lessons because I couldn't afford to take them myself, and it was really great. I mean, it just happened. Like, Emma became an amazing guitarist, and I was like really into the idea of like singing, and it just kind of
came together
at 12, 13, I guess, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Were you listening to music at the time? Were you aware of what was going on in the pop charts or in the indie world? Was the stuff that was influencing you?
I just basically listened to everything my older brother was listening to, which was, well, I guess I started out listening to Britney Spears when I was a kid. But when I knew the difference, I started listening to like Radiohead and the Velvet Underground and all these cool bands my brother was listening to. And then later on going to shows, like our high school band shows in New York. I guess we had just always been listening to music, a lot of like old school rap. And
And like I was really in a bubble, I would say, like at the time, like I didn't really know what was good. I'd never really listened to music until I kind of met Emma, like, and because I was an only child, I didn't have a lot of like friends growing up. And then like when I met Emma, it was just sort of like this like cultural gate to music opened, and I just, yeah, it was really crazy. Like crazy, I learned, I was like, what the fuck, like I only knew Jimi Hendrix and like Dido.
Which is pretty good, I'd say.
It's not bad.
I think that kind of explains our band, really.
Yeah.
Or what we'd like to be.
I'm an only child as well, and I remember being a kid, you know, always being sort of like disappointed that I didn't have a friend that I could hang out with, you know, until I met a best friend, and then the world changes and you start to see the world through other eyes other than yours and your parents, right? I mean, it's such a big difference. And I'm guessing she turned you on to some of the music that she was talking about as well.
Oh yeah.
So what about starting to write songs? When did that happen?
I was writing a lot of instrumentals in the beginning, and Heather was writing a lot of melodies and lyrics. And so we'd kind of just work off of each other, you know? I mean, it happened immediately. Like we picked up the guitar and just wanted to write our own stuff. I still don't know many covers at all, yeah. Actually, but yeah.
Yeah. And we were both just like really like excited about it, you know, so we could spend hours just together doing it. Like, especially like at that age, you know, when like most of friends of ours were like out doing other things, but like we would just spend hours like working on songs basically.
So what were you writing about at the beginning? What were the songs about?
God, I feel like I remember. We really loved psychedelic art, and I had a bedroom that we would draw all over. and like mazes and like weird flower people. And I don't know, we were very inspired by just weird kind of art. And we'd write about getting lost in like fields of flowers and green eyes. And like, I don't know, it was all very poetic and really not literal at all.
Very magical.
were you reading? Are you readers? Were you inspired by stuff that you read?
Oh yeah, we were reading everything like that we should have been reading at the time, actually. We were reading like philosophy, we were reading like fiction, nonfiction, science fiction, like weird, like you were reading a lot of, I feel like, science fiction.
Yeah, I was really into sci-fi, like Kurt Vonnegut and Ray Bradbury, yeah. I guess at the time.
I was reading more like weird Steppenwolf and like weird like existential literature and stuff. And yeah, I mean, but basically just always trying to kind of write about like the what ifs in life. I think at that time we always had like, you know, our eyes on our dreams and like the things that really like inspired us deep down, whether, and it could be small moments too, but like even in a small moment, like something crazy can happen in your life and like how that affects you. So we'd like write about that and, you know, like boys that we had crushes on and I don't know.
I was reading an article about you guys a few years ago. It was in W Magazine and it was by somebody who said, "This is my best friend's band." Do you know the article I'm talking about?
Yeah.
By Jillian Sagansky, my right, friend's yes. band.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was in 2016. And right at that time, you were just about to release your first album and there was a lot started to go on for you guys pretty quickly. Can you tell us about that time and getting that first record deal?
I mean, it was a really crazy time for us, I would say, because when it happened, we were pinching ourselves the whole time. Like, is this really happening? But it was basically just through like a friend that we ended up getting like signed in Paris, because we were kind of like traveling there a lot at the time and trying to be in the scene or whatever, but like sort of not really. I don't know. We just like met. We weren't getting
Explain
far.
Because I went to Paris when I was young, but I wasn't like, you know, getting any record deals or anything. I mean, when you say you were just traveling and hanging out, trying to be in the scene, what does that mean?
Heather had a boyfriend, I think is what she means. So the one time I decided to tag along, I was like, I'm going to go to Europe. I'm like 15, whatever, 16. And we went and, you know, we had really just started writing songs for the first time and performing them. And we got a gig. The guy from the label was there. He approached us and suddenly we walked through the white pearly gates of his office and got signed. And
yeah, and he was like a very special person. Like you could just tell he like really, just really liked our music and just wanted to help us at the time. And like, it was really nice, a really good first like label experience.
So we talked a little bit about some of the early songs that you wrote. What about the songs that you wrote and released on that first album? What were you writing about then?
Emotional disaster, yeah. love lost,
heartbreak, like flying with a broken wing, basically, or one wing.
We were just going through so much.
Yeah, and it's all like a first time kind of thing, you know? Yeah, because it really was like at that age, you know, when we were like 18, 19, when we recorded it was like, I mean, Emma, I think, was 17. Yeah, so it was just first getting through those emotional hardships, as Emma said.
And what about the experience of touring? Because I know you went out with you went out with Mike Snow, right, for the American tour, and then you went to Europe. I mean, you really got a nice sort of following of people who were out there sort of helping you and booking you. What was it like hitting the road with bands like that?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it was just a learning experience. Like every night, you just learned so much, and you felt like you didn't belong there at all. Just looking around and feeling like, wow. But it was great. And we just loved performing. Any gig that we could get in any country we could get just kind of got better.
Yeah, people were very forgiving to like a new band on the scene, you know.
What were the lessons you took from the traveling and from that first experience?
Bring tea, like tea,
to the game
with you all the time.
Never touch the hummus backstage.
Yeah, don't unless you want to get mono. No.
I learned a lot of like, I learned how to be relaxed. You've got to be really relaxed and kind of patient with everyone and yourself, you know, and really you've got to work with a lot of people in the music industry. So a lot of different people doing different things all the time. And, you know, we were really young and just learning,
to say thank you,
and to say thank you a lot.
Yeah.
Crucial.
With Mike Stone in particular, I feel like I learned so much about production and like how to make a great live show, you know. It was just unimaginable to me before that.
Yeah, we learned about inner ears and things like that. I had no idea before.
Right.
It was very educational for sure. And
so I know you've been away for a while from the recorded front, and obviously there's new music that we're talking about. And I want to come back and talk about that in a minute, but I'm going to get you to play another song for us first.
Great.
What's our next track?
It's going to be One Wing.
All right. It's One Wing with Bo, and this is 88.5 Live at Home.
Please. One life is life.
All right, so another song from Beau. Where'd the name come from? I'm sorry, but I have to ask. B-E-A-U.
We were called the Boos, B-O-O-S, plural boo.
I like that.
Thank you.
But somebody else had it, perhaps?
Well, that, I guess, yeah.
There was this, like, graffiti artist in New York who went by Beau. And we grew up with, like, graffiti artist friends and boyfriends and shit. And so, like, at the time, I was like, if I'm going to be a graffiti artist, I want to write Beau. But it was taken. So then...
Got it.
Yeah.
But we used it anyway. But yeah, the booth was also
okay
taken.
Okay for a band.
Yeah, it was okay.
We played a show in Paris under the name The Booze. And someone said La Booze or something, which actually meant cow shit. And we kind of kept on getting that.
Yeah.
And we thought we're not punk enough for that name. So, and we were playing in France all the time. Our label was out there. So we kind of just said Beau. It's, you know, it means like handsome. And it was French, which felt appropriate.
So that was about 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of time in between records, in between drinks, as they say.
Yes.
How have you been dealing with the last year? I mean, I don't know. Were these songs for the new release already recorded, or have you been recording them during quarantine or lockdown?
Probably before, you know, a lot last summer. We were just in and out of basements, recording studios in New York, our own basement studio, and just kind of growing, learning how to produce ourselves, engineer ourselves.
Yeah.
You're fully independent this time around as well, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that change the way you, you know, approach recording? And when you say learning how to produce, I mean, tell us a little bit more about that. I'm presuming, obviously, you're 5 years older, which means that, like most of us, hopefully we grow and evolve and mature and perhaps learn some new things.
It's a lot more fun.
Yeah. Can you tell us about the process for you guys? You say in and out of basements. I mean, what, just finding places wherever you can or recording with friends?
Well, we have a studio in Emma's basement in New York, and we've turned it into like a really awesome rehearsal space and recording studio. So we pretty much can go down there whenever we want to make a really solid demo of anything. I think we just also have this feel like if we were to go anywhere, we could just do it sort of, you know, because we feel more confident. We're more knowledgeable with like programs like Logic, and like it's just sort of like it's not as difficult. But I think that the same thing still remains now as it did then, which is that like to write the best song, you know, is still always going to be the challenge, I think. But like it's just like. As long as you have a guitar and like, you know, a notebook and a pen, can pretty much write anything. I mean, I don't know. Just, yeah, I guess, I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what about lyrically? Again, I was reading something that said that, you know, you've always been blunt and honest with your lyrics. What are you writing about on these new songs? I mean, the new single that is out now, obviously, is Dance With Me. Tell us about that. Tell us about that song. That seems to be something that is very much about the moment.
About Dance With Me?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's just basically like about creating a very positive and like happy environment in chaos and in some sort, in like a space that maybe feels like there's negative energy around, or like just it's not going as you planned and all you got to do is kind of dance, or just dance in your mind or laugh or whatever it really is. Just, you know, there's I think there's like a quote for it, but I'm not sure what, but where you find, you know, it's like you find beauty in the mundane or something, or you can find beauty in chaos sort of. And, you know, without tension, there is no like movement, or I don't know. There's different ways, I guess. That's my interpretation of it.
Yeah. And I think in these past 5 years, you know, gaining more control, production wise, instrumentally, really, just because we taught ourselves more instruments, we were more aware of all the things we could do rather than just trusting a producer to kind of, you know, whip the things we didn't know together. So I think overall this song is just more us, you know, there's more kind of quirky parts of it. And we just took a lot of chances. We kept it very much like the demo, honestly. We didn't really re-record too much in a proper studio because we wanted it to be a little kind of weird sounding, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens sometimes. You do the demo and then you go into the studio and you think, oh, well, let's put this on and this on and this on. And then you look at it and you go, kind of liked it how we just did it at the beginning. Is it kind of like right. that?
Yeah, oh, it's yeah. always, yeah, that's it.
So before we let you play the last song, just very quickly, obviously you're here in LA right now. Nice view there in Malibu. You know, I haven't been to the city to Manhattan for a while, like most people, obviously, because we can't really travel. But how is the city? How is New York? How's it feeling right now?
It's feeling kind of weird. I mean, we're from New York. So the fact that there aren't as many cars or people outside is pretty eerie, but also kind of amazing because it just feels like our jungle gym, kind of how I remember it as a kid. But yeah, it's been weird.
Yeah. It's not home at the time, you know, it's like, it feels there's something different, especially because you can really walk around and see like the effects of the pandemic and everything just like very easily. And, but it's like, there's a silver lining to that kind of strangeness, or it's idle is what it feels like. It's like, you know, things are going on, but it's not as loud, it's not as crazy, it's like a little bit asleep for the time being. You know, they say the city never sleeps, but I don't know about that. It's resting. Yeah.
It's resting. It's taking a nap.
much needed.
And what about the creative community? I mean, how obviously you've got friends who are in the creative community as well. I mean, how the creative community dealing with it? I'm presuming there's going to be a ton of amazing art coming out next year.
It's been great. Every artist I spoke to, every musician, it's like, I think people are really just buckling down and not having many distractions. Yeah. You know, I mean, having access to a recording studio, you know, isn't happening right now, which kind of sucks. But other than that, the writing, you know, writing and yeah, so I think good. It's been flourishing.
I think it's been really good for that, actually.
So. And obviously you can't play out live right now, but do you have any plans to do any shows that you can stream? Or, I mean, what's coming up for you with the new music? How are you going to promote it?
I think when we get back to New York, we're going to set up some type of live session situation in my basement.
Like weekly
live streaming on Instagram and maybe Facebook.
Yeah. Nice.
Just us doing it ourselves.
Yeah. And it'll be a good reason to practice, honestly, because that's the most important. It's just to get really good.
Right.
So, yeah.
And hopefully sometime next year, although I got a feeling it's not going to be anytime soon, but maybe towards the end of the year, we'll be able to get out and see live shows again. And I'm sure you're chomping at the bit.
Yes.
We'll probably be on to the next album by then.
Yeah. We'll have toured this like to zero people around the world. It'll be live streaming in every state.
It's great to get a couple of minutes with you, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
I hope I get to see you somewhere in person in the not too distant future. But until then, what are you going to finish with? What's the song you're going to finish with?
Our new single named Dance With Me.
Well, that would be perfect. So, since we just talked about it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm Nick Harcourt. This has been 88.5 Live at Home, although it's not their home. It's Michelle's home. and our final song is Dance With Me.